Well, praise the Lord, folks. For our final hymn prior to our sermon this morning, let's stand and we'll open up to hymn 13. Because we want to hail the power of His name. There's power in His name. Amen? Amen. I sure am glad that there is. Ah, yes, indeed. We'll sing the first, or we'll sing all four. Chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. To Him who saves you by His grace, and crown Him Lord of all. Bring Him who saves you by His grace, and crown Him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to Him all majesty ascribe, and crown Him Lord of all. To Him all majesty ascribe, and crown Him Lord of all. Please be seated, church. Good singing this morning. Oh, how we look forward to that day when we will crown Him Lord and King of all. It's coming, folks. Got to realize it is coming. Very shortly, the Lord's coming back. We're going to be raptured out of this world prior to the commencement of the tribulation period. Oh, how we look forward to that day. Meantime, we've got to serve the King. Amen? We've got to serve Him faithfully as we see that day approaching, even more so. Let's grab our Bibles at this time, church. And please open to the book of Acts this morning. Anybody need a pew Bible? We have, yeah, we have pew Bibles. Let's grab one for Jill. Oh, none out here? Oh, sure. And we'll open up to Acts chapter 16 this morning. Lord laid a particular message on my heart this week as I was praying about what to preach. And He led me to the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. And here we find the Apostle Paul right in the midst of his second missionary journey. That's two of three that he held, where he went everywhere preaching the gospel. And as a result, souls were getting saved. Amen? The church of Jesus Christ, thank you, sister, was enlarging day by day. And the gospel was going forward with power conquering the darkness of the devil wherever it went. And it's no different here in chapter 16 of the book of Acts. And the apostle arrives in Macedonia in a city called Philippi. And I want to call your attention this morning to, we'll begin reading in verse 19. In verse 19, we read, "And when her masters," that's the soothsayer that got saved, "saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, 'These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans.' And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light, and sprang in and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house.' And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. When he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." Beloved, I want to speak to you this morning on a sermon I've entitled, "Songs in the Night, a Soldier's Story." Songs in the Night, a Soldier's Story. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the Apostle Paul, the great soldier of the Lord Jesus, the soldier in the Lord's army that went forth conquering and to conquer through the gospel. And Lord, I thank you for the glorious truths. This is not a parable, but a historical event that took place some 2,000 years ago. We thank you, Lord, for the Philippian jailer who got saved. And Lord, all his house got saved, all because of Paul's preaching the gospel. Lord, I thank you that we too can sing songs in the night and be soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you'd bless your word this morning and show us what meaneth these things. Give us deeper understanding by thy Holy Spirit. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Beloved, here in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, we have an incredible passage before us. And it has to do with the Apostle Paul going forth obediently on another missionary journey, preaching the gospel, casting out demons, and seeing souls saved. He was in prison for it. Sometimes you'll suffer for preaching the gospel, right? But we need to be willing, like Paul, to receive whatever it is the Lord allows to come into our lives as a result of our faithful service. Songs in the Night, a Soldier's Story. Church, listen carefully. I want to preach this morning concerning a soldier who fought in an army. And that is the army of God, in which you too are enlisted if you're saved. Whether you like it or not, you are a soldier of the Lord. His name was Paul. The Apostle Paul exemplifies for us Christian honor, courage, and sacrifice
drafted into service for the Lord on the road to Damascus, he quickly trained and dispatched on an impossible mission. Initially, distrusted by his allies and especially hated by the enemy, Paul set out to accomplish his task. Upon engaging the adversary, the first theater at Lystra, Paul is captured, tortured, and left for dead. Listen, called back to Jerusalem, Paul was debriefed and given further instructions for his second journey out. Immediately, he led his small troop back into battle. We're talking spiritually. With much success and many commendations, this soldier of the Lord is sent to a new front. This time, the gospel army invades the continent of Europe, Macedonia, ending in Philippi. Listen, with fresh troops behind him, they boldly engage the enemy in hostile territory. The place was full of idolatry. There, for the second time, they are captured, beaten, and imprisoned. Paul's permanent military record reveals that he was lashed 5 times with 39 stripes, 3 times beaten with rods, 3 times shipwrecked, once stoned, attacked by wild animals, eventually put to death by Nero in a Roman prison. So with that background in mind, beloved, we will look at Paul's second capture in Macedonia, in the city of Philippi, which takes place during his second missionary journey. Even in this early part of his campaign, we can see what made him a great soldier. I want to give you 5 things from our text this morning that made Paul one of the greatest soldiers of the Lord that ever lived. The first one I want you to notice is Paul's warfare. Look with me in verse 16. Chapter 16, verse 16. Notice Paul's warfare. It was not with flesh. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, I believe this is the beloved physician Luke, who accompanied Paul throughout his 3 missionary journeys. As we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, she was mocking them. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. Now, beloved, notice carefully here, the true soldier's warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers of evil, even rulers of the darkness of this world. You are at war. Whether you realize it or not, the devil is your enemy. His demons will harass you, and you need to roll up your sleeves, put on the whole armor of God, and fight the good fight of faith. Amen? Paul's first encounter was one of spiritual warfare. For Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Wherefore, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." We need to stand in these last days, folks. It's so important. Paul understood that this poor demon-possessed woman was not his enemy. The devil in her was. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, don't turn there, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations." Those strongholds, the Greek is demonic entrenchments. Demonic entrenchments. That's what they are. And that's what we need to come against in Jesus' name. Amen? You only come against the enemy in Jesus' name. And by the blood of Christ, you have authority over him. We need to realize who we are this morning, church. We have power that God has given us through his Son. Beloved, you and I are soldiers of the same army that Paul was. There's no difference. The army of God, whose commander-in-chief is the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, as long as Captain Jesus is in control, I'm not taking a backward step. Amen? He is omnipotent, your commander-in-chief. has all things under his feet. Does that include the devil?
Oh, yeah.
And he knows it. This means that we are supposed to be engaged in the same spiritual battle for the souls of the lost that Paul was, and Peter was, and Timothy was, and Matthew was, John was. They all were. And we need to be in that same battle, folks, especially today. Go to 2 Timothy. Hold your place in Acts. We're coming right back. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at this verse. This is speaking to you and to me. Paul writes to the preacher boy he was training up. He knew he had a departure to take to glory, and he wanted Timothy to take over, and he did. But look what he tells him. Very important. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look with me at verse 3. Paul says, "Thou therefore endure hardness," that's hard, difficult persecutions, trials. "Endure hardness as a what? Good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth," we're at war, "entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a what? Soldier." You're a soldier. And you're in the army of the Lord. Osteen won't tell you this. Because the Christian life is a battle. The Christian life is a warfare. And you are fighting against powers of darkness that are invisible. And we need to have the power of Jesus Christ to stand up to them. And to set the captives free. Beloved, listen to me this morning. You are very important in the plan of God. Because God wants to use your life to set the prisoners free. They're addicted to heroin this morning. They're dying. They're addicted to drugs and alcohol and pornography and all kinds of wickedness. And they need to be set free. And there's only one who can do it. The Lord Jesus Christ. This was Paul's warfare, we find. But secondly this morning, something else about the soldier's story. Notice Paul's reward for winning a great battle. What's his reward? Look at it. In verse 19, we read back in Acts chapter 16. What is his reward for winning a great battle? Here it is, 19. "And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone," yeah, he cast a demon out of her. She can't do fortune telling no more. She can't do her divination any longer. Her powers of darkness are gone in the name of Jesus Christ. "They caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, 'These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans.' And the multitude rose up together against them." How many of you know, time out, church. How many of you knows that people are going to come against you when you name the name of Christ? You say, I'm a soldier in the Lord's army. You need to be saved. They're not going to like you very much. Verse 22, "They rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison," the dungeon, "and made their feet fast in the stocks." Beloved, listen carefully to me. Paul and Silas just won the damsel that was possessed to the Lord. She got saved. What is their reward? Look at it. They're cast into prison, beaten and scourged. Paul and Silas have been whipped. They've been beat. They've been cast into the deepest prison cell available, and they have their feet locked in steel fetters. They're bleeding. Folks, listen to me. Why? It's because in the name of Jesus Christ, Paul has delivered this damsel from demonic possession. Brother, I'm here to tell you this morning that when you roll up your sleeves and get busy for Jesus Christ, you are going to come under enemy of fire, enemy attack. Hear what I said? You know who the devil never bothers with? Those Christians who just sit back and, oh, I think I'll just, you know, watch my favorite sitcom, and they never do nothing for God. And the devil never bothers them because he's got them right where he wants them. But when you get involved in preaching the gospel, in leading people to Jesus Christ, praying for souls to get saved, you're going to have a bullseye on your back. You are. Look at Paul and Silas in the prison. The enemy is going to shoot back when you serve Jesus. Mark it down. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Don't turn there. It says, yea, in all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You won't hear that from Copeland. Copeland has the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. Name it and claim it. You want a jet plane? Name it and claim it. Well, that wasn't Paul's theology. Paul's in prison for preaching the gospel. I am so tired of these televangelists who get up and tell you, just become a Christian and you'll get rich. Send me your $1,000 seed money. And you know, I say, why don't you send me your $1,000 seed money if that's true? You're laughing all the way to the bank. And that's not the gospel. Beloved, contrary to popular belief, suffering, this is a lost word in the churches today. Suffering is a part of the true Christian life. The problem is that too many of God's people shrink back from really getting involved in serving Jesus Christ because they don't want to suffer for his name. Paul and Silas didn't. They rejoiced that they had been counted worthy to be beaten for Jesus' name. I look at that all black and blue and bloody mouth. Hey, praise the Lord! I got beat up for Jesus, you know. Oh man, you got to get the right attitude. Listen to this verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead, according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even under bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Let me ask you a question, beloved, this morning. Don't answer out loud. Do you want to reign with Jesus in the millennium for 1,000 years? Do you want to have a special position of service for the Lord in the 1,000-year millennial kingdom, which is coming very shortly? If you do, you have to be willing to suffer with the Lord according to that verse. New Testament grace verse. If you suffer with him, you'll reign with him. Now, I didn't say you lose your salvation if you don't suffer. Salvation's a gift. Discipleship takes work, right? And Jesus says, if you suffer for my name, I got a special position of service for you in my millennium. The question is, are we willing to suffer a little persecution for his sake? Paul was. Go to Luke chapter 9. Hold your place in Acts and turn back to Luke. Look at this verse in Luke chapter 9. You're going to love this. Jesus put it right on the disciples, what he's talking about in verse 57, Luke 9:57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, now they're following Jesus, see? They're happily following Jesus in the way. A certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, really? Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He says, you want to follow me? I don't have a roof over my head. Look at it. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, his father was dying. You know, it might take a period of months or years before he died. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You know what Jesus Christ is saying to these followers of his? He's saying, do you really want to serve me? Do you really want to follow me? Count the cost. Before you get involved, I want you to count the cost. I want you to realize that I'm a nobody in this world. I want you to realize that you'll be persecuted for my name. I want you to realize that you'll be cast out of society because of serving me. He says, count the cost. Why? Because Paul's reward for winning the damsel was imprisonment. Wow. Backwards, I tell you. First of all, we've seen Paul's warfare. Second of all, we've seen his reward. But thirdly, notice Paul's reaction to his suffering. Don't miss this back in Acts chapter 16. What was Paul's reaction to his suffering? Verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I don't know about you, but I like this verse. Paul's reaction to his sufferings was prayer meeting, worship time, testimony. Listen, look at it. Verse 25. They prayed, they sang, they worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, grab hold of this passage now. Because when you find yourself being attacked by the enemies of God, you can lift up your head and begin to praise the Lord that you are in the battle. And that you are more than conquerors through Him that loves you. Amen? He's in prison. He's in the dungeon. His feet are in steel fetters. And he's going, hallelujah, praise Jesus, my Savior. And notice the end of the verse, the prisoners heard them. Folks, listen to me. They're watching you. They're listening to you. They got their eyes on you because they know you're a Christian. And they want to know if you really believe what that Bible says and if you're really living that way. See that? Paul had a good testimony. Now, you know what we do too often? Listen, we allow our circumstances to dictate our outlook. Don't allow your condition or circumstances to dictate your outlook. Let your position in Christ Jesus dictate your outlook. Amen? Listen now. When David Brainerd became the first missionary to the North American Indians in 1718, after losing all his possessions and ending up sleeping in a teepee, Brainerd recorded this entry in his personal diary, and I quote, Lord, to thee I dedicate my life. Oh, accept me and let me be thine forever. Lord, I desire nothing else, nothing more than this. May I only suffer in thy service and for thy sake. Signed, David Brainerd. That man had the right reaction to suffering. He lost everything. And he said, Lord, for thy glory, let me suffer. We don't hear much preaching like that today. Go to Job. Hold your place again in Acts. And go to Job chapter 1. Here's a verse for you. Here's a guy who lost everything, including his wife and kids. And look what he says about God. Did he blame God? Did he get bitter? Did he get depressed? Did he throw a pity party? Look what he did. In Job chapter 1, powerful passage here. And the Satan, of course, goes to the Lord and begs him permission to tempt Job. And he says, go ahead. Job's my servant. You know, sometimes the Lord will allow the devil to harass you to prove your faithfulness. To prove your faithfulness to him. Yeah. According to Job chapter 1, he does. Look at it. And drop down to verse number 14. And there came a messenger to Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the asses feeding beside him, and the Sabaeans fell upon him and took him away. Yea, they've slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone am escaped to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. I only am escaped to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands, fell upon the camels, carried them away. Verse 18, while he was yet speaking, there came another also, said, thy sons, thy daughters were eating and drinking in the house, their elder brother. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, fell upon the young men, they are dead. And I alone escaped to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. You know what we do too many times? When bad times hit, the enemy attacks, the kids are sick, I don't have the money to pay this bill, whatever the situation might be, we charge God foolishly. Where's God? I need God. Folks, Job lost everything. And the Bible says he fell upon the earth and worshipped and said, hey, I didn't come into this world with anything, and I won't leave with anything. Blessed be the name of my God. That's what Paul did back here in Acts chapter 16. Flip back there to Acts chapter 16. We need to have the right reaction to suffering. But fourthly, observe the effect of their worship. Their worship had an effect. You know when you worship, you affect things? I want to show you that quickly. Beloved, look at verse 26. The end of verse 25 says, the prisoners heard them. Verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed.
I'm here to tell you this morning that there is a great effect to worshiping Jesus Christ. The effect I see here is threefold. Beloved, listen to me. You can move heaven and earth when you worship the King, Jesus Christ, and call upon His name. There's no greater name. Listen, notice the threefold effect of their worship. First, the place was shaken up. Verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Why? Because they were worshiping God. When you worship, listen to me,
when you worship the King, He's going to shake those circumstances in your life to bring them into submission. Woo! That'll preach. Amen? Place will be shaken. Sinners will be shaken out of their complacency and get saved. I tell you, the demons will be shaken and scatter in the name of Jesus Christ. The first effect of your worship is things are shaken up. The second effect, notice, doors were opened. Verse 26, and so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, not after they were baptized, not after they put money in the plate, not after they joined the church, spit nickels and did cartwheels, but immediately all the doors were opened. Listen to me, beloved. Prison doors are broken down when we sing praises to the Son of God. The devil can't hold you down when you worship Him, because Jesus Christ will come down personally into your situation when you worship Him. And doors will fling open. Doors you never expected to open will open. Why? Because Jesus said, I have the keys. I open and no man shutteth. I shut and no man openeth. He's in control. He's sovereign. Wow! The prison doors were broken. Listen, when we serve Jesus Christ, when we worship the King, He opens doors of opportunity for us. Doors to lead souls to the Lord. Doors to send missionaries to the field. Doors to give more. Doors that we never dreamt of. He opens them when we worship Him. But a third effect of our worship, enemy strongholds were loosed. Look at it. Verse 26. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Now he's talking about the iron fetters that had them held on to their ankles. They were broken. How were they broken? By worshiping the King. Listen to me, folks. The fetters of sin will drop off swiftly when we worship Jesus Christ. The fetters of insecurity, the fetters of fear, the fetters of lust, the fetters of sin will drop at the name of Jesus Christ. They will fall off your ankles and you'll be free to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen carefully. When we're serving Jesus, the enemy attempts to bind us with secret sins, evil habits, poor choices. But when we get on our knees and cry out to God and worship the King, we will walk in liberty and freedom by His Holy Spirit that indwells us. You hear what I said? When you worship the King, you will walk at liberty by the Holy Spirit within you. You will. Now, this was the effect of their worship. It was threefold. Go to Psalm 22. Here's why. Psalm 22. Hold your place again in Acts. Coming right back. Here's why worship makes such a difference. Here's the reason why. Psalm 22. I love this verse for life. In Psalm 22, we know it's a messianic psalm concerning the cross. We know that. But look what the psalmist says by the Holy Ghost in verse 3. Verse 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. You know what he just said? He said, O God, you inhabit, you dwell in the praises of your people. That means that when you come to church or in your prayer closet at home, when you put your favorite worship CD in and you lift your hands and the Holy Ghost tears begin to fall and you worship Jesus, just you and Him, guess what? He's there inhabiting that worship. He's right there. When Jesus is near, folks, listen to me. All your problems will dissolve and melt away into peace. Why? The King is present. He inhabits the praise and worship of His people. That's why the effect of their worship was so powerful. But I see one final result. A result of their worship. What was the final result of their worship? It was threefold. Look with me here. It's a threefold result. First, in verse 27, lives were saved. Hear what I said? Very important. Get this. Verse 27, lives were saved. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself. What's that called? Begins with an S. Suicide. You know, we have an epidemic of suicide today. You know why? They don't know God. They have nothing to live for, and they think it'd be better off by ending it, not knowing what that would hold. Look at it, verse 27. Supposing that the prisoners had been fled, he was going to kill himself. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Now let me ask you a question, church. Think. You got to read between the lines in the Bible. Did Paul and Silas have to stay in that cell? No! They were free! The fetters fell off! The doors flung open! The Lord says, come on, boys, let's go! Paul and Silas stayed right where they were. Why? The guy would have died. The God would have killed himself if they left. You see it? Yeah. Look at now, folks. First, the Lord used Paul first to save this jailer's life physically. From death by suicide. God will use you to save lives from suicide. To save lives from drug overdose. To save lives from witchcraft and sorcery and the occult. God will use you to save lives. Physically first. But secondly, look at light was shown upon this man. Secondly, look at verse 29. Verse 29. Then he called for a light, and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Wait a minute. Something wrong with this picture, church. The jailer fell down before the prisoners? Yup. Why? Light shone upon him. And he realized who the true servants of God were, and he feared them. You see that? Notice the word trembling in verse 29. Light springs in. When we shine the gospel, God is going to use you, beloved, and me, to bring the glorious light of the gospel to the poor lost souls of this world. First, they saved his life physically. Now, the light is shining on him. He's getting ready to get saved, right? Amen? Now, listen carefully. He didn't need Dr. Phil. He didn't need more secular education. He didn't need a self-help guru. He needed Jesus. Amen? He needed Jesus because he was that close to dying and going to hell like a bullet. Oh, beloved, God is going to use you to shine light to those who are in darkness. Thirdly, there was a third result of their worship. First, lives were saved. Second, light was shining. Third, souls were saved. Look at verse 30. And he brought them out and said unto them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Get baptized." Is that what he said? No. And Paul said, join the church. No. Go to confessional booth. Pray to Mary. Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thine house. Now, folks, look at it. Verse 31, and they said, in verse 32, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord. That's another phrase. You'll find it in 2 Peter chapter 1, I believe it is, where he talks about being born again by incorruptible seed, by the word of the Lord. That's the gospel. That's a phraseology which is talking about the gospel. They spake unto him the word of the Lord, the gospel. And to all that were, notice, to all that were in his house, he gave them all the gospel, right? Now look at verse 33. And he took them, the jailer, took them, the prisoners, the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes. And he was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. His whole family got saved. Okay? Why? Because Paul stayed in that cell serving Jesus Christ instead of running away. Oh, folks, you got to grab hold. Here is the true aim of the true soldier of God. To save souls from eternal death in hell by bringing them to the foot of the cross where the Son of God waits, ready, willing, and able to save them from the enemy. This is the true aim of every soldier of Jesus Christ. Is this your goal in life today? Are you determined that I am going to set the captives free? I am going to tell them about my Jesus and see them saved? Because this was Paul's goal in life, to set as many as he could free before his final breath. In closing, let me give you this. A few years ago, at a pastors and wives retreat in Hampton Beach, my wife and I were attending a pastors and wives retreat. I had the privilege of meeting one of my heroes of the faith. His name, Squire Parsons, the great hymn writer. Before he sang for all of us, he was in the back, and I walked up to him, shook his hand, and told him he's one of my heroes of the faith. And he said, "Don't look at me, brother. Look at the Lord." And I said, "Squire, I need to ask, how many hymns have you written over the years?" And he thought for a moment. He said, "I don't have an exact number, but I can say that's definitely over 1,000 that I've written." But then he added, "Brother, I've only done my duty as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." That's what he said to me. "I've only done my duty as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Beloved, that is all that you can do. Just do what God has called you to do and let everything fall into his hands. The results will be great. And they will be the work of God, not you. You're just being obedient. You're just being a vessel, a conduit through which the Holy Spirit can work. My message this morning is Songs in the Night, a Soldier's Story. I wonder what your story will be. I wonder what we could pen down and write about you and your life in these incredible endeavors serving the Lord. I trust there be great and many. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for Songs in the Night, a Soldier's Story. How we thank you this morning, Lord Jesus, that as Paul was willing to suffer for thy name's sake, we learn this morning that we too need to be ready, willing, and able to suffer for the name of Jesus. Lord, there is no other name given amongst men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Lord, there's no other plan. There's no other program. There's no other way to save man from sin and from the devil but through the gospel of Jesus Christ. How we thank you this morning, Lord, that we understand by your Holy Spirit what Paul was attempting to do. He wasn't thinking of himself in that lonely dungeon, feet fast in the fetters. Lord, he was thinking about the jailer and his soul. And he led him to Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to get our eyes off of ourselves. And help us to get dove's eyes, the eyes of the Lord, seeking for those souls that need salvation. Help us to be Paul's and Silas's. Help us to be soldiers of the cross. Help us to be singing in the night of darkness. Help us to be shining the light of the gospel. And Lord, I just ask you to give us souls. In these last days, we don't have much time left. I pray you give us souls. Increase the cords, the stakes of our tent, Lord. Enlarge it. Oh God, for thy kingdom's glory, I pray you bring many to salvation through this church in these last days. We prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. And the people said, amen. Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time. We will have a time of invitation. Altar will be open if you need it. Let's open up our hymnals to a most precious hymn of the faith, 161. We'll stand and close with 161. Because it talks about what Paul loved to do. Paul loved to tell the story, the old story of the gospel. And in telling it, souls will be saved, folks. Not all, but some. Some will. Praise the Lord. I love to tell the story. We'll sing the first, the third, and the fourth. Altar is open if you need it.
Tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell. Satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story of thee, my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love.
Oh, amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, I thank you this morning for this sermon, the message from Paul. Lord, I thank you for the challenge today that we find in the Bible. That challenge is to be better soldiers of the Lord's army. And I pray, Lord God, nobody looking around, if the Lord spoke into your heart, I knuckled to hear and say, Pastor, the Lord spoke to me this morning. I see that hand. I see that hand and I see that hand. Anyone else? The Lord spoke to me about being a more faithful soldier. I see that hand. Put him down. Father, I thank you for these uplifted hands, their desire to serve thee and to be better servants and soldiers for thee. And I thank you that by thy Holy Spirit we can. Lord, my hand is up. I want to be more effective in ministry for thee. I want to be a better servant for thee. I want to be all that you've called me to be, Lord. And I thank you that I can be, we can be, because of Him who indwells us, even the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. Father, I pray during this next stanza, anyone who needs to hit the altar will do so. And Lord, you'd have your will and way in your people's hearts and lives. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. On the second, on the third, I should say. Yes.
To tell the story, 'tis pleasant to relate what seems each time I tell it. More wonderfully sweet, I love to tell the story. Oh,
Standing for prayer.
What a blessing this morning to be in God's house with you.
And Father, how we thank you this morning for the message, the challenge from your word, oh God, that we'd be better servants for thee, better soldiers of the cross. And Lord, help us to go forth unashamedly, unapologetically, with the cross of Jesus going before. And Lord, we thank you that we can tell the story, the old story, the gospel story. Lord, I'm so thankful that it still saves souls eternally. Lord, I'm thankful that it still releases the captives from the fetters of sin. Lord, I'm thankful that it still opens doors that man never dreamt of before. I'm thankful, Lord, for the effect of worship and the preaching of the Word of God. I'm so thankful this morning for these things, Lord. And I ask you to bless us as we go forth. Lord, let us go forth today from God's house as soldiers in the Lord's army, ready to tell the lost about the Savior, ready to look for opportunities, Lord. Maybe a loved one, maybe a work associate, maybe a friend or family member that's not saved, someone we can tell the love of Jesus to and tell them that Jesus wants to save them and take them to heaven when they die. Lord, I just ask you to use us like you used Paul and Silas. And Lord, help us, like Paul and Silas, not to run away from our circumstance, but to stay put, where you stay exactly where you put us to serve you. For them, it was in that dungeon, and it worked. Help us to stay put, Lord, and see souls saved. Well, through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. 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 Folks, tonight at 6, if you're able, we'll be worshiping the Lord again.